Blog Talk Radio.
The year, 1888. The place, London's East End. Dead and mutilated bodies are popping up all over, from Stamford to Whitechapel. Jack the Ripper is leaving his mark, and the city's on edge. Yvonne Mason is back with a tale of murder and millinery. The Rhodes Hat Factory is booming while the body count rises. Why now? How are these hats connected? Has the Hatter gone mad? Mad Hatter, Yvonne Mason. Available now on Amazon.com.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Yvonne Mason. This is Off the Chain, and we are back after a week of Thanksgiving. Thank goodness it only comes around once a year. I would weigh 1,200 pounds and could not move out of my chair. So tonight, first of all, I want to say, yes, it was a shameless piece of promotion for my book, The Mad Hatter. And it does take place in England. And I will have a guest on my show on December the 21st. So write all this down, folks. December the 21st at 8 o'clock, a very special guest will be on my show. It's a Wednesday night. And his name is David Morrell. He is a very, very, very famous author. If you know the name Rambo First Blood, then you know the name David Morrell, because David wrote that book. He also has written many, many other books, including a trilogy that I've just finished reading, the last one being Ruler of the Night, and the main character is Thomas De Quincey. Look him up. He actually existed in England in the 1800s. He was known as the Opium Eater. So put that down on your little calendars, phones, however you keep up with important dates, because that show will be an interesting show. Tonight, however, I have another wonderful, multi-talented artist who... I've known this guy for several years now. We've hung out for a while. We both say that we're related by other mothers, so we've been through some rough times and some good times. But Tom Fortrell, he's an award-winning best-selling author and a screenwriter. He is also a clothing art designer for Vita. He has art hanging in galleries. He has studied the martial arts for nearly 40 years and has been inducted into the Martial Arts Masters Hall of Fame. Now, Tom lives out in the country with his wife, his two daughters, and a plethora of cats, so we'll just call him the Catman from now on. How are you, my friend?
I am good. I
heard you back snickering.
Yeah, these cats are giving me the evil eye. They must have heard you.
Probably. All right. Tell the audience, first of all, you and I have been friends since almost before God now, it seems like.
Seems like it, yeah.
Yeah, we've been through a lot together.
Oh, yeah, a lot of hills.
Yeah, the dark, the lean, the ugly. The pretty, the not so pretty.
Yeah, we have.
But that is the beauty of the indie author community, don't you agree? Because that core of us, that group of us that hooked up because of He Who Shall Remain Nameless, he actually did us a favor. Because think about it, all of us have all remained friends and have worked for each other and with each other and helped each other for going on 11 years.
Yeah, kind of like an extended family.
Exactly. When one of us hurts, we all hurt.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about this show because I want to know your history. I want to know how you managed to do all you do, how you got there, what made you want to get there, and who helped you get there.
Oh, that sounds boring, though.
No, it's lots of fun. The listeners love it. Because, see, what you've done, Tom, is you've made dreams come true for yourself in spite of a lot of the bumps in the road that have gone on in your life. And people want to know, well, if he does all this, surely it was easy. No.
No.
It wasn't.
No.
So let folks know how you got. First, you started off in martial arts. Did you start as a child? Was that something you wanted to do?
I started, I was real little. My brother actually got me involved in it. I was not like 100% into it, but it was like the first time I seen a class, I fell madly in love, and I've been training ever since.
Now, for those that don't know, and I have not trained in 10 years, and I'm very, very rusty. I'm sure I could take care of myself if I had to. It would come back. But that being said, the training never stops, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, I still practice. I had some really, really cool students. I teach a few times a week. They brought me a wooden dummy to train on, and that's become like my best friend. Absolutely love training on it.
Well, for people that don't know,
mm-hmm.
when one trains in the arts, that training is to be used only for self-defense, not for stupid stuff, correct?
Correct. Yeah, you don't train to be a bully. You know, if you're doing that, then you're not learning. You know, you're just throwing punches and kicks. There's so much more to it than that.
Explain to our listeners what is involved, because it just doesn't encompass the physical. You have to have the mental, the emotional, and the psychic and the soul all in balance, right?
Right, yeah, 100% correct. Yep. I mean, it breaks down to everything you learn. I mean, let's say you take a technique that you're not very good at. I'll just throw in a spinning heel kick. You're not very good at it. You know, some people will tell you, oh, it's a worthless kick anyway, it'll never work in the street. That's not the point. You see, when you train it and you practice it and you do get it right, that's an accomplishment. That is, like, that's awesome. And while you're practicing, you're getting disciplined. You are focusing. There's all these little things that happen. You're taking it in deep enough that you're making yourself believe, I can do this. And then eventually you will. You know, you don't run away from a technique or anything that you cannot do. You attack it. You keep doing it. You keep attacking it until you get it right. And then you find something else and you do it again. You know, that's for the mental, the spiritual. I mean, you got to really believe and have faith in yourself that you're going to do this. And then you just do it. You just keep at it until you get it.
So,
sorry.
That's okay. Let's say, because, again, people get the wrong idea when they watch movies and television with martial arts, because it's used in a lot of fight scenes, and we know it's all for theater. But
right.
It is not something that one would, let's say Joe Blow pissed me off.
Okay.
I'm not going to go out and start taking him down with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or Taekwondo or Karate just because I'm pissed off at him, because that is not what it's about. One has to learn the discipline of the mind to be slow to anger, am I right?
Exactly right. You know, you train so hard, you train to the point where you're like, okay, this guy just spilled his coffee on me or whatever. And he's like, man, I know I could just kick this dude's butt right here, right now. But why? You know, what's the purpose? It's just spilled coffee. It's nothing to be angry about. You know, yeah, he makes you bad, but, you know, oh, well, no big deal. You just move on. You know, you kind of, in your mind, you're like, you know I could take him. I believe I can take him. There's no need to just trust the issue because I've already won. I'm bigger than he is by not engaging with him.
And therein lies the difference in someone who is disciplined in the arts and someone who goes in and thinks, okay, I'm big bad man now. I know all this stuff. So go ahead and piss me off. You learn to pick your battles.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And some battles just are not worth fighting. What difference does it make? Really? A spilled cup of coffee could happen to the best of us.
Exactly. I mean, you spill it in your car, you're going to get out and kick your car for it? You know what I mean? It's not worth it.
Some people might, though, Tom.
Yeah. I think I know a couple that would.
Some people might really get pissed off at the cup of coffee in the car instead of being pissed off at themselves because they were clumsy.
Yeah, this is true.
Are you gonna okay, then let's take this a step. Are they going to kick the daylights out of themselves because they're clumsy?
There you go. There you go. Yep.
Some people might. Yeah. I mean, some people are, you know, you can't dumb down stupid. It's already there as far as it'll go.
Amen to that.
So, 40 years that you've been doing this. Now, for those that don't know, Tom is not 40 years old. He's a little bit older than that. But for 40 years, he has been training. Now, if someone wants to start, let's say they're in, I was 52 when I started.
Okay.
Say they're in their 50s and they want to start training. I know that I wasn't too old. I hurt like hell, but I could do it. They're not too old if they're healthy and if their mindset is right, correct?
That's correct. There's a friend of mine who's wheelchair bound, and she is 78, and I've been teaching her Tai Chi at work because she's having issues with her arms and stuff, and it helps relax her. She's 78 in a wheelchair, and she's doing martial arts, so she can do it. There's no reason nobody else can.
All right, now let me ask you this.
Okay.
If someone says, well, I just want to learn enough to defend myself, that may be the premise, but if they learn just enough to defend themselves and they don't keep training, they're not going to be able to defend themselves because, number one, their mind and their body won't be in balance to react to a situation, and number two, the muscles that one uses in martial arts would not be strong enough. Am I right in that?
You are correct again. Yeah. Yeah, I kind of cringe when I hear people say things like that. Like, you know, I just want to know enough to define myself. It's like, you know, you can just grab a pillow, hang it in a door frame, and punch on it forever if that's all you want to do. But when it comes down to it, it's a crapshoot. Because all you got to do is miss one of them punches, and they're going to take you out. You know, you,
and it's not
you really
very
need
good.
To train it. Right.
Now,
I mean, if there's
that being said, do you agree with me that every female, no matter the age, from 2 to 100, should know how to defend herself, not only with, let's just say, the basic martial arts, but the points of impact that we as humans have on our bodies, say, for instance, our elbows, our thumbs, our knees, and women especially, the heels of their shoes, our fingernails.
Yeah, I think every female should train and Yeah, I mean, you should learn all these things because, you know, you never know. You know, and
And they should not be afraid to use it. But don't ever second guess yourself, ladies. If you're in a situation where it's flee, hide, or fight, you can't flee. There's no place to hide, and you got to fight. You better make damn sure you fight, because if you don't, you've already lost. Right?
Exactly. Yeah, and you know, in that confidence, that, you know, that feeling that I can win this fight, that comes from the constant training. That comes from getting yourself in balance. Because if you don't have confidence in yourself, especially when you're having to throw those techniques, if you don't believe in yourself and believe in those techniques, they're not going to work because you're out of balance.
And the perpetrator, the reason they're attacking someone to begin with is they get a thrill of the feeling of power. Well, when you take their power, you've disabled them. They're out of their comfort zone.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Yeah,
so,
I mean, if you look like a victim, they're going to, you know, that's just it. You can't let yourself look like a victim. You got to have that confidence.
And getting back to looking like a victim, ladies,
mm-hmm.
when you and your daughters, and even young men, when y'all are out in the public, put your phones away.
Yes.
Be aware of your surroundings, especially at night. Be aware of your surroundings. Have your keys in your hand with the key side out and have it in your hand tightly. Look into your vehicle before you get in your vehicle. Make sure your doors are locked. If someone comes up to you and wants you to go help them do something, offer to call someone. Don't go with them.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And be ready to use anything at hand as a weapon. If you got like a comb, you know, you slash somebody across the face with that comb, it's going to hurt them. You may say, oh, it's just a stupid plastic comb. That thing could save your life.
Exactly.
You know, a pen, anything like a pen, a nail file, anything. You know, just get it, learn how to use it, and just be ready. Have it ready for you.
And put your phones away. Don't be walking down the street or out to the parking lot or even in a store with your face in your phone, because predators watch for their victims. They do.
Yeah, they'll
go
be looking
out
for that.
And they know people that are not paying attention to their surroundings and people that are distracted and people that are dealing with a fussy baby or dealing with a child that's misbehaving or being so busy talking with their friends, they're not aware of the things that are around them. It happens every single day. Always be aware. When you walk out to your car, and Tom, tell me if I'm right, when you head out to your car, watch everything around. Look behind you. Look on both sides. Look straight ahead. Eyeball your car in the general direction. See if there's anyone around it. See if anyone is acting suspicious. Because
yep,
trust me, this is how people get hurt.
Yep. Yep. And also check if you know, if anybody's following, check people, like if you're walking out of the store, people standing by the door, see if they make any kind of movement or if they're watching you. These are all things to be aware of because that might be where they're waiting to grab somebody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, now that we've done our public service announcement, I hope somebody pays attention and listens. Because I'm really tired of women and children being snatched because they're not paying attention. We've gotten, and I love technology as well as the next person. You know that. You've known me long enough. I have everything tech in my house except the dog, and
yep.
He would be tech if I could get him tech. But that being said, we also have to understand that we set ourselves up to be a victim when we're not paying attention to what is going on around us.
Right. You always be aware. Always.
let's move on to fun things. The master of martial arts moved into writing.
Okay.
How did that come about? What made you get into the genre of writing that you do?
When I was in second grade, we had to write this poem and draw a picture with it for a class project of some kind. It was like weekend homework. So I took it home, did it, no big, brought it back in on Monday. The teacher said, there's no way somebody my age could have written something so advanced. And so my mom had to go into school, right into Bennett School, and explain to them that I did write it myself. And the teacher told me at that point, you're going to be a writer. And I laughed because I was like, no way. You know, I mean, I was in second grade. I was going to be an astronaut. I was going to be the next Superman. I wasn't going to be no writer, you know. Yep. So, but yeah, that poem ended up getting published. It was in a newsletter. They had it hanging up all over the school. I was completely embarrassed for at least a month before they finally took it back down. And
why
yeah,
were
was
you
the
embarrassed?
First time I was ever published. Yeah. Well,
why were you
you know,
embarrassed?
Well, because it was a stupid poem. You know, I wanted to be like this tough little kid in, you know, poetry. You know, little boys, back where I come from, little boys, they didn't write poetry, you know. We talked about football and anything else that sounded tough and cool, even though we didn't know what we were talking about. You know.
But you were tough and cool. I mean, think of this. Edgar Allan Poe was a poet.
Yeah, yeah, he's my hero. He's one of my heroes.
Mine too. He's one of mine too. We've talked about this. We both love Poe.
Yep,
so
yeah, we do.
How much longer after second grade did you start writing, after you got through being embarrassed, did you start writing in earnest?
Well, the art part, basically my mom gave me, that was probably about the same time, my mom gave me a book, Snoopy and the Red Baron. And instead of reading the book, I drew all the pictures from it and just absolutely loved drawing. And that's pretty much where that started. But writing-wise, I really didn't get into it, again, like anything serious until probably, I think it was high school. I had to have an English credit, and the only thing that was available was creative writing. I hated my teacher. My teacher thought that I was going to write the next drama, and I wanted to write the next Shining. And so the more he told me to be nice about my writing, the darker my stuff got. He may be the horror writer I am today.
Well, see, even though you didn't like him, he did you a favor.
He did. He did. I write horror in spite of this guy. And I don't even know if he's still alive. But I'll still
actually,
keep writing
you write it because of him.
Make him mad.
You write it because of him, not in spite of him. Well, did you pass the class, Tom?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did end up passing the class. It was really funny, too, because, like, one of our final projects we had to do, we had to write a play. Like, they broke us into groups. We had to write a play, and we had to enact the play, like, with other students in the auditorium. And the more me and him went at it, the shorter my lines got, to the fact where I got one line in the entire play. And I made sure it was something so bad that he would be instantly mad. And he was pissed. But, like, they had this, like, this romantic picnic in the park, you know, and I'm just kind of standing there. And the guy walks up, and he's like, so, Eb, what do you think of all this? You know, and I looked at him, and I made sure the teacher was sitting right there watching. I was like, I want your soul. He was so pissed. Yeah, I'll give you one line. I'm going to make it happen.
You are an evil man. And I love it.
Be evil? Never.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, tell the folks some of the stories you've written and where they are, because unlike most of my guests, ladies and gentlemen, and I am the best at what I do, and that's finding people. because I hunt people, did it for a living. Tom has nothing out there but his Facebook and his Twitter. I don't know how you expect folks to go find you and purchase all this wonderful stuff that you do if you don't have a website.
And it's, I know, so I really do gotta get that.
You think?
Yeah. You're talking to a guy who refused to give up his typewriter until 2002.
But we had to drag you kicking and screaming into the 21st century.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, my phone still has buttons on it.
That's frightening.
I was just like, one of them guys was like, oh, you know, it'll come back.
No, it doesn't come back. It's over. It's only going to get more technology. So,
do you
now do greeting cards? You illustrate greeting cards?
I've done some greeting cards, yeah. I do a lot of art commissions, a lot of portraits. Still learning the comic art. I got a few things going there. Right now I'm learning how to draw sloths and penguins because I was just asked to illustrate a children's book. And so I told him I'd give it my best. You know, it's a great writer, a great guy. And so I'm teaching myself how to draw them so that I could draw them for his book. That's my current art project outside of the other ones.
Well, this brings me to, well, before I say that, you also, for lack of a better terminology, because I really am not sure what the terminology is, but you're a art illustrator for clothing, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, clothing. I design, I make designs for scarves and shirts and handbags and for Vita. I think it's Vita. That's how they pronounce it.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't seen some of this artwork, shame on you. It is absolutely stunning. It's one of a kind. And it is absolutely beautiful. What made you decide to go with Vita?
That's the weird thing, and this is something that tends to happen to me. They came to me. They saw my artwork on Facebook and came to me and asked me if I'd be willing to give it a try. And I was like, oh, yeah. You know, and I did a few designs for them, and, you know, they loved it. They said they were happy to have it in their collection, and I've been designing for them ever since.
So you got some new... Do you have some new artwork out with them now?
I have a few. Since it came out maybe 3 weeks ago, they're tote bags. I have a few designs on those. I'm trying to do some seasonal ones. I did fall for them so far. I haven't had a chance to send them the other ones. And you can actually get to that artwork, shopvita.com, and I think it's /voices, and just type my name in there, and you should be able to find my work.
And I'm telling you, ladies, if you are looking for a gift for that person who has everything, go look at this clothing, the scarves and the handbags and the T-shirts with Tom's artwork on it. It is just, it's stunning.
Yeah, thank you.
It'll blow your mind away. You also are a screenwriter.
Yeah, yep. I have a couple of movies that made theaters. One of them made it to 21 countries, played in 59 different theaters. And the crazy thing about that is, once again, they came to me on Facebook. It's like I didn't apply anywhere. They just come to me. I don't know. I don't know what the attraction is, but I appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, please do. Please do. But yeah, this person, he's another martial artist. He plays a starring role in the movie that was in the theaters. He just came to me and asked me if I would be willing to write a screenplay for him. He gave me the idea, and I was like, yeah. Then I had another guy that ran a publishing house who came to me maybe 6 months later, and he had a book. One of his authors had a book that they were going to do an option for film, and nobody there knew how to write script. Like, nobody in his department knew how to write script. And so he, once again, Facebook friend, brought it to me, wrote it for him. It ended up being picked up by New Vision, and it's a Lifetime movie now.
Wow. So
yeah.
Your name is on the screen. Your name is in the credits. Screenplay by Tom Fritrell.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully they spelled it right.
Well, if they didn't, it's no big deal. We all know who you are.
This is true.
Now, you have some passions and causes that you're really big in. Animal welfare,
oh, yeah.
Arts and culture,
yep.
children education,
yep.
human rights, and poverty.
Yep.
How did you get involved in those, and how do you participate in them?
Well, what I usually do is, like, some of the books that I have out, I've gone to different organizations like Cancer Research, different ones, the ASTCA and things, and I would just hand over my royalty to them. Like, anything that gets made off the book goes to them instead of to me. I hope those books are doing the very best as far as sales go, because if it's helping somebody, that's what I'm all about. You know, if I can help somebody in any way.
What made you animal welfare? I know why you picked arts and culture, because we're artists, and that is our first love.
Exactly.
Children's education, human rights, and I think I know why you picked human rights, because I feel the same way, and poverty.
Yeah.
Why did those wind up being your top five or six causes that are important to you?
Oh, the poverty thing and the hunger thing. I don't think that. I think that everybody should be able to have. I don't like the idea of people going without, be it clothing, be it food, be it a home. I don't like having a home and knowing that there's people in my area who are sleeping in a box. You know, I don't like that. I don't like that they're eating out of dumpsters. That shouldn't be. You know, and if I could do anything at all to even help change that, even a little bit, you know, that's what I'm all about. I don't want to enjoy my stuff if there's others who are suffering. You know, because that's materialistic, and that's just not right.
Well, that brings up a question that I have been pondering for quite a while.
Okay.
And I want to get your take on it, because it's along these lines. We have, in our inner cities and in the outer fringes of our bigger cities, and in our cities, period, we have children that go to bed hungry every night. We have families that have to live on the streets because for whatever reason they've lost everything, be it loss of a job, a death, a sickness, whatever. They're now on the streets. We have veterans who are on the streets because, A, they can't get the help they need, B, they suffer from PTSD, and can't get the help they need, and they've lost everything, including hope. But we spend millions and millions of dollars to do a couple of things. One, we send it overseas to impoverished countries. B, we bring in quote-unquote refugees. Now, I'm not... People, before you get all excited, hear me out. We bring in tens of thousands of refugees, and illegals that cross the border, and our country puts them up in a place to live, supplies them with social services, i.e. food stamps, WIC, checks, medical care. And we have Americans who fought for our country, and we have our future, which are these children, doing without. Where is the justice in that?
See, now we're thinking pretty much the same lines. I think a lot of it, and again, this is just me, I think it's just, I don't want to call it wrongful spending, but maybe wrongful budgeting. I mean, if they want to help other countries, you know, fine, I have nothing against that, but please, help ours too. Don't ignore one to help the other.
Well, don't you agree that charity begins at home?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. Yeah, and I think that they should help our, especially our veterans, children. I mean, these people, they risk their lives for us. Some of them are like, you know, they're missing limbs protecting us.
Exactly.
You know, and they deserve better than what they're getting.
So when I see a commercial saying, and I understand there's world hunger, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I see commercials, oh, send your dollars, you know, 35 cents a day for a cup of coffee, we'll feed this child for a month, and he lives over in Zimbabwe, what about this child that's living in a shelter with its mother or living in a safe house with its mother because the mother's been abused and the state's trying to take the child and all the mother wants to do is have a safe life for her and her children? Where is that charity? Why are we not doing commercials for our children and our veterans here? We've got buildings standing empty that are falling down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got them here,
that
too.
That we could put our veterans in, that they would have a place, that families could get a fresh start. Why are we sending money to different countries when we need to be taking care of our children and our veterans and our families here?
Right. I mean, it's like any budgeting thing. You make sure everything that you got going on is set. Like, you know, you set up the right money, you go to the right places. Like when you pay your bills. You take care of your bills first. You take care of things around you first, and the money that you got left over, then you start passing that out. You know, but solidify what's going on here. You know, don't forget about the others. You know, never forget. But solidify here, and then share the wealth after you got something solid going on here. You know, I mean, that way both are getting the money, but, you know, we're getting them veterans a place to live. We're giving them kids food to eat. You know, we're keeping the families from being broken apart like that.
Right.
That's so important. And so, yeah, you're right. You take care of what's going on here. Everything's solidified here. And then you start, you know, if this other country needs something, okay, cool. Let us get our stuff taken care of, and we'll be right there.
Because when we do that, we only make our country and our future stronger.
Right. And our country
and
needs
we're
to be
always,
stronger.
And we're always going to have poor people with us. God tells us the poor you will always have with you. But just because you're poor doesn't mean that you've got to live on the street.
Exactly.
You can have a home that's warm, that's solid. And, yes, you might have to wear clothes from the thrift store. I do it a lot, not because I have to, but because I'm finding some pretty damn good deals at the thrift store.
You really do. You really do. Yeah.
There's no shame in that. Guilty.
No. No, not at all.
But we have to learn to, even though we are the most generous country in the world, we have to learn how to be a little bit selfish and take care of what's ours first.
Right. Right. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, you take care of your home front, you know, then you're still going to have the money coming in. Just take care of your home front, get these people homes, get these people food, get these veterans the help they need. And then, you know, start spreading it around a little bit, help other impoverished countries. We're still going to be generous. You know, we just, it's hard to be generous when we're given what we don't have.
Exactly.
You know, and we're throwing it over there and we're not helping our own country. And I mean, then one of these years, we're going to be the impoverished country. You think anybody's going to be throwing money towards us? Probably not.
Oh, no. No, they'll be invading us just like they are now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but, and, you know, it's like, you know, they're like, well, that's the United States. They don't need any help. It's like, oh, you know, we keep this up, we're going to need some help.
Well, now that we've solved all the world's ills and taught women how to protect themselves.
Yeah, that's pretty informative.
Let's talk about the meat of the matter. Let's talk about your books. You have books out. You also have short stories out.
Mm-hmm.
Tell our audience about the titles of your books, where they can be found.
Okay.
And, of course, they're all horror, ladies and gentlemen. Every one of them are horror. So if you're a horror fan, you will have a whole new world to read. Go ahead, sweetheart.
Okay. My biggest book to date is Empty Graves. That was my bestseller. Got me number one on the bestsellers list for a whole weekend. Proud to say Stephen King was 2 and 3 that weekend. I have it hanging in my office. It's never coming down, so it'll probably never happen again. But that's my big seller.
Never say never, Tom.
This is true. And this book, I mean, I was on TV, radio, everything with this book, newspapers. It was an eye opener for me. It let me see that hard work does pay off, you know, and it kind of solidified me as an author. But that's my biggest one, and that's available Barnes & Noble. It used to be available in bookstores like Borders and all that, but we don't have that here anymore. But Barnes & Noble still carries it. Amazon has it. I'm sure you probably find it in a used bookstore here and there. My local library has this. So cool to see my book on a library shelf. But that's my big one. And then I've written the sequel to it, which is called Fresh Graves. And it's just more of the same, just a collection of horror fiction. That's available. Amazon, I believe, carries that one. That's about the only place, I think, right now. Most of my books are on Amazon. Just look up Tom Futrell, you get a list of books. Look up T.G. Reaper, you get another list of books. Let's see.
You're in several anthologies.
Yep, I'm also in a lot of anthologies. I had two that came out Halloween. From the Deep and Darkness Within. And I also write a column for Darkness Within on hauntings. Darkness Within easing. See, those came out, and I've been with the Lost Word Writers. We've written so many. Pottersfield, Within These Walls. We're slowly working on another anthology. We're just trying to put things together still. Great group of writers, absolutely great people.
And you also ghostwrite for people.
Yeah, I just signed a contract to ghostwrite my first murder mystery, which is pretty cool because it's something I've always wanted to try to write. It's a mystery. And it's really hard to not kill everybody in the first few pages because people who read my books realize nobody lives in my books. Nobody.
Well, a murder mystery, you got to drag it out, honey.
Yeah, I'm working
on that. You got to build up to the crescendo.
Yeah. That's
horror,
my biggest
Dom.
Challenge.
It's not horror.
Yeah,
it's a murder mystery.
Challenge.
Think of Inspector Clouseau as you're writing.
Oh. That might help, actually. Yeah. You know, I was going to write a children's book one time and sent a proposal and stuff to a publisher. And they told me, no way, because I would traumatize the children.
I love it.
Okay.
I absolutely love it.
Yeah, that book
well,
never
let me, you were in all three of, actually you were in four. You were in Blessings of the Darkness, right?
Yep, yep.
Okay, you were in Satan's Holiday.
Yep, Satan's Holiday, yep.
And Welcome to Your Nightmare.
Yeah. That was a
and
great book.
It was a great book. And A Merry Scary Christmas, right?
I do not remember if I was in that one. I think I was. I believe so.
It's not an anthology without you. I probably insisted.
Yeah, actually, I think you did. Well, I think so. I'm pretty sure I was in it.
Because
yeah.
I think you tried to weasel out of it, and I threatened you with the monkeys. And, of course, nobody tells Yvonne, no, it's just not done.
Right, especially with the monkeys are involved.
Beware the monkeys. In fact, the monkeys have been flying this week. Things have just went south in a hurry, so I sent them flying and had to delete a few people, but that's okay, too. So... If someone came up to you and
mm-hmm.
said, Tom, I'm a dreamer. I have this dream, and I want to do this, but I don't know how. I don't know what to do. I just know I want to do it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, for any of you all that know us, know that when we started this journey, we all had a dream. Some of us, like Tom, had more than others, and like me, had more than others. But we all had at least one dream. And what we did is we found a way to make our dream real. We found a way to publish our work. We found a way to get the artwork out. We found a way to become a hybrid martial arts expert that's inducted into their Hall of Fame. We found a way to make our dreams real. Now, if someone comes to you, Tom, and says, I have this dream, but what would you tell them?
Oh, I tell them, number one, you know, if it's in your heart, if it's in your soul, and to you, if it's worth doing, worth fighting for, then stop at nothing. Just do it. If you're weak in a thing, like in a part of it, be it grammar for writing, drawing a certain thing, like hands are the devil to draw, anything like that, then you attack it. Work at it until it becomes your friend. You know, if you want to be a better writer, you want to be a better artist, draw, paint. You know, if you want to be a martial artist, get your butt off the couch, and start throwing some kicks, punches, and start doing some cardio. That's the only way you're going to do it. You could whine. But whining is not going to get you in the Hall of Fame. It's not going to get you published. It's not going to get you anything in a gallery. You don't want. You just do it. And you keep doing it until it gets right. And once it's right, you keep doing it until it cannot get wrong. That was suspect.
I like that. And do you agree that person should surround themselves with people of like minds and get the negativity totally out of their life? Because we all know what happens with negativity. It destroys.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, get with people who will support you. You know, don't, you know, if people are like, oh, you'll never get there, prove them wrong. Get with people that, because everybody gets told, everybody. I mean, I've been told, I never be published. I was told, you know, my art sucks. I was told I'll never earn a belt. I mean, I've been through it all. There's nothing that anybody could tell me a reason that they can't do something. Like I say, hey, you know what? Yes, you can. There is no reason. No reason at all. Get with some supportive people. Let them share their positivity with you, because they've had those negative shots too. You know, just get with those people, surround yourself with them, and build each other up. Don't tear each other down. Don't be like, oh, mine's better than yours. No, that's bull. Yours is better than yours, and it's going to keep getting better, and that's all you have to worry about.
Because none
it.
Of us
you
are
don't
in
worry
competition.
About... Right, exactly. It's not a competition. You know, you just, you're working your heart out, you're working it out for you. You're not working it out to beat somebody else. Oh, man,
and
I keep going on these little tandems.
Well, that's okay. But like you say, we've all been in the bottom of that pit. Every one of us as artists have been in the bottom. I know there's been days when I said to myself, I'll never write another word. But then that one character gets in my head and says, watch this, bitch.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
You think you're
going
to keep me quiet? I'm going to keep you up at night.
Yep, okay, keep you up until you write it.
So, yep. Ladies and gentlemen, and this is what Tom and I are both saying, and I say this at the end of every show that I do. I don't care what your dream is. If you're an activist, if you're an artist, if you're a musician, if you want to be in martial arts, hell, if you want to be a garbage collector, which is a very lucrative and important job, be the best at it that you can be. And as the wise man said, no one can destroy your dream without your permission. And don't give anybody permission to destroy your dream. It's up to you to say, hey, there's no room in my life for you. I don't care if it's your best friend. If someone is going to be negative in your life and someone is going to be jealous of your successes, cut them off. Drop
them
like
a
bad habit. That isn't,
yeah.
You're right, that is not a friend. Because
friends
don't do that. Right.
Right.
And Tom's been there. Tom and I've had many conversations. And
oh, yeah.
the bottom line is this. You're only as good as you believe you are. And Tom, you and I have both seen people that did not really believe they were that good, and then all of a sudden the light bulb went off.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they shot themselves.
Yep. Sad to see.
Now,
you know, I mean, because it's there. They just give up.
Just like you, who would have thought that you would have two screenplays with your name on the credit as a screenwriter in 21 countries? Who would have thought you'd be in the Hall of Fame martial arts? Who would have thought that I would have been on national television? Actually, national television in three different times, two of them out of the country, one in England, one in France, one here. Not me.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yep.
We believe.
I mean, exactly. And that's it, too. You believe, you buckle in, and you see how far it can take you. And you don't stop ever. Even if you say, oh, this is a comfort. No, don't believe that. Keep going. There's always more. Always.
And never, never, ever, ever throw out a piece of artwork, no matter how bad you think it is, and never, ever, ever throw out a manuscript. Or a poem,
right.
Or any writings. Never throw any of your work away. And the reason for that is what, Tom?
Because someday you're going to look back at it and you say, wow, I've come so far since then.
Or you're going to pick that manuscript up and edit it and rework it and revise it, or pick up that piece of artwork and go, oh, I can, especially if it's a pencil drawing or a charcoal, I can change a line here, or I can change a line here.
Yep.
And you never know when that inspiration is going to hit.
Yep. You know, on Facebook, they have those things that pop up. Like, it says, share your memories. And, like, I see artwork I did 5-6 years ago. And I'm looking at it. I'm thinking, wow, because back then, I thought, that was awesome. But I didn't stop there. I could have, but I didn't stop there. And now I look at it, I'm like, wow, I'm so much better now. But back then, I thought it was great. If I didn't think it was great, I would never have posted it for the public to see. And it's like, you know, and that's the thing. You got to just keep moving forward. And when you get better, go back and pick up that manuscript. Go back and pick up that artwork. you know, because you're going to have more knowledge, you're going to have more experience, and you're going to make that better. I'm doing a tandem thing again.
Well, that's okay. That's why we're off the chain here. Don't you know that? Before we're running out of time, so I want to bring you back on March 31st.
Okay.
Because I think by then you'll be almost finished with your ghostwriting book, and you can give us the title and all that good stuff. I don't want to spoil it now because you're just in the middle of doing it. But by then you should be far enough along that you can give us a little taste, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And you'll be able to tell us who your wonderful new publisher is, right?
Oh, yeah. Got a great publisher now.
Absolutely.
Oh,
ladies
the greatest.
And gentlemen, well, you know, one brick at a time.
Yep, amen.
One brick at a time. And that's how you build your dreams, ladies and gentlemen. One brick at a time.
Yep.
And you keep, and if it gets knocked down, you just go right back and pick those bricks back up, take the mortar off of them, clean them up real good, and start building again.
Yeah,
now,
exactly.
The rest of this week, tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, I have Miranda Lynn. She's an author. On Friday night, I have Kenny Eckenberg. This should be an interesting show. He's a comedian. This guy's absolutely hysterical. Oh, you've got to listen in, Tom, because... In fact, if you want to, call up and help me co-host the show because it's going to be a riot.
That sounds like fun.
It will be, so just call in and help me co-host.
Okay.
On Saturday night, I have an author out of Alaska. Her name is M. Calhoun. She should be interesting to talk to. And don't forget that on December the 21st, that will be the last show that I am doing before the Christmas break. I wasn't going to do any shows that week, but... I mean, when David Morrell says, Yvonne, send me your – email me. I want to be on the show. What do you do?
Oh, you can get him on there.
Oh, absolutely. So, and I'm also working on – are you ready for this? I'm also working on Tim Dorsey.
Nice.
Yeah. I hooked up with him. He and I have been on Facebook together for a long, long time, and I've met him a few times. But I sent him a note. I said, Tim, I really want to get you on the show. And he said, email me. So I emailed him. So we're waiting to hear back. So I says, all it takes is your phone. That's all you need. You don't need to be anywhere at any given time. Just call me. Even if you're in the car, it's no big deal. So we'll see if that comes. Thank you, my friend, for being on my show.
Thanks for having me.
I would have a show without you? Really? Okay. So March 31st, ladies and gentlemen, multi-talented artist Tim Fritrell will be back because we're not halfway through, and maybe by then he'll have his website up. Where can they find you, Tim? Tom, where can they find you?
Well, right now, Twitter and Facebook, just look up TG Reaper or Tom Fritrell. I do have Voices of the Reaper, which is my author's page. I also have an art page that has a lot of my Vita art on it, and it's just Tom Futrell. You can check out, like, either one of those. Send me a friend request. I'll be more than happy to have you join me. I have close to 3,000 people now, and the majority of them are readers that I've had since I started writing and getting published. So, you know, you guys are always welcome.
So, ladies and gentlemen, look him up. Get his books. I'm telling you, the man's a genius at evil. That's why I call him my evil brother, because he is an absolute genius at evil. And we think alike. So,
we do.
Yes, we do. Get his books. Look up Vita. Look up his clothing line. Go on his page and look up at all of his beautiful artwork. Is your artwork still in some galleries?
Since Vernival Gallery through December. And then I'm hoping to get something back at the 634 Art Gallery. Hopefully next May when they do their next event. It'll be my third time there. It's a really, really great gallery.
Sweet. So, ladies and gentlemen, join me tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time with author Miranda Lynn, and Tom will be back on March 31st, at 8 o'clock, and I'm going to try to talk him into co-hosting with me on Friday night with comedian Kenny Eckerberg. My friend, thank you, thank you, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. This was a fun. This was a blast.
And the hour flew by.
that was awesome.
Well, I will speak to you soon, and you know that once I get everything uploaded that you can use all of these to promote yourself, right? I'll tag you in when I get the podcast.
That.
My
yeah,
gift to
you,
my friend.
Appreciate
all right,
it. Until
next time, I will say, love yourselves, ladies and gentlemen. Live your dream. And Tom, my evil brother, I love you.
Love you, too.
Good night, my friend.
Good night.